Well, good morning, beautiful people of God. It is good to be with you this morning. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ behind the walls of the South Dakota State Penitentiary System. It is my honor to be with you today. Thanks to Pastor Eric and Pastor Dana and all of you for allowing me the opportunity again to come and be with you and to tell you of all the good things that you make possible through the ministry of St. Dismas. We had a great conversation. I'm not trying to indict you for not being there today, but we had great conversation today as we've talked about all of the ways that God has been at work through St. Dismas. Now, St. Dismas as an organization really functions in three ways. One is St. Dismas Lutheran Church, which is the core and center of why we exist. I'm one of only two pastors in the whole United States that is called by inmates inside of a correctional facility. The other one is my associate and great, great friend, Pastor Laura Phillips, who all of you, many of you know. We have the honor of serving the congregation of St. Dismas. We are an actual congregation. We're not just an outreach ministry or some extension of another ministry. We are St. Dismas Lutheran Church, just like you are Spirit of Joy. And we get the fun of dealing with being church inside the walls. Like I always say, I joke about the fact, the fun thing is we don't have to argue about changing carpet or what coffee we're serving or those kinds of things. We just get to come and worship. The other piece that we have taken on very, very boldly is reentry work. We know that it's very hard for people to leave prison, and especially to come back out into a world that maybe has changed a lot since the last time they were in it. And so we work with people while they're still inside to help them plan the resources and tools that they're going to need when they transition out of incarceration back out into the world. Now that work, is hard. We can't make a life for people. They have to want that for themselves. But we do get to work alongside people that want a better life and want to be better contributors to our society. I say the state recidivism rate is nearly 50%. Our recidivism rate is 14%. For those that do work with us, we find that we can be very successful. We don't get everybody. Again, we can't make a life for them, but they have to want that for themselves. The last piece, which has been really interesting about my job is far more political today than I would ever want it to be. But of course, in a world where we're talking about prison and programming and all of these things right now, we are at a ripe point for conversation and how we can move forward to better be in a system that supports those that have stumbled in life, have never had chances in life, but find themselves incarcerated. And so again, I give you thanks, because you as partners, Spirit of Joy, make that possible, and many of you as families and individuals also make this possible. We exist because you want us to. We are not funded or supported by the South Dakota Synod. We don't get a penny from the state. We don't get money from organizations like Prison Congregations of America. We help them. It's you that make us possible. And I don't do this work alone. I have a staff of 8 around the state that make this work possible, 3 pastors and a lot of support people, and it's great work. We get to watch God do some amazing things. So again, I thank you for that. I also welcome you into other opportunities. I always invite you to come to worship and worship with us. It's an experience that really is hugely powerful. And I know, you know, people have a little bit of anxiety about coming into the prison, but I've never had anybody regret coming to worship at St. Dismas. It's very, very powerful. We also have other opportunities that are coming up that I hope to be able to express and kind of invite you more into as we go. But again, know that we appreciate your partnership, and I am grateful for each and every one of you. Well, sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you this morning from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Saints and sinners, blessings and woes. Those are the words that hang in our midst today, especially out of our gospel reading. I think the other thing about the gospel, as I was thinking about that second half as I was reading it to you today, is that sounds an awful lot like the people I get to work with. If someone strikes you, turn the other cheek, you know, those kinds of things. Maybe that was not a good joke. No, today we also remember those and celebrate those that we have lost in faith, the saints of our lives. We also get to talk about those that the world really will never see as saints and often wants to forget. Now, coming off of Reformation last week, we know that Martin Luther taught us that we are simultaneously saints and sinners, right? Now, I actually carry a reminder of that. People that know me know this, that I carry the ambigram on my keychain all day, every day. One way you read it, it says sinner. The other way, flip it over, and it says saint. It is a good reminder for me of who I am in the world, and especially what God calls me to do. Now, this section of Luke documents Jesus' teaching we know as the Sermon on the Plain. If you are a Matthew person, which we are going to go to the Gospel of Matthew in year A, starting in Advent, that is called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, each of these texts is familiar, but has some slight nuances that are different from each other. We often also call these the Beatitudes. And we find ourselves, when we hear the Beatitudes, usually pondering many things. First of all, what does it mean to be blessed? How do I avoid woe? Fair question, actually, in our current world. So as we often do in Jesus' teachings, we often find ourselves caught up in considering what maybe we need to do to make ourselves more acceptable to God. Now, as Lutherans, we call this the demand of the law. God's law, that is, on how we behave and how we treat each other, how we live in the world. And we're often challenged by this with our own sense of obedience to God's commands. That's a dangerous word for us Lutherans. However, whenever you find yourself in a mindset where you're go into a self-assessment mode, you'll not find much comfort in God's commands. Because this is exactly where the devil loves to whisper into our conscience. You're never going to be good enough. You'll never be acceptable to anyone, especially to God. So why try? My guys especially hear that voice. Now, when you engage this scripture with that particular mindset, well, then you are looking for that prescription, that thing, right, that will make you better or more acceptable to God and to the world. And it is generally our fixation on the what and how we find ourselves in the world and how we become presentable to God instead of focusing on the who. That is what God does and what he has already done, especially in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. It is about finding what gives you freedom from the burdens in your life, the anxieties. And maybe for some of you, it is even the relief from things that my guys suffer from, and that's guilt or shame. Truthfully, at the end of it all, when you actually get caught in that mindset, this is actually your sinfulness coming to the surface, which is compounded by your sense of needing to do something rather than just to trust what God has to tell you about it. Yes, our minds begin to spin. We actually find ourselves considering the difference of being blessed or being cursed. We encounter words like saint that are ascribed to some people, and that bears on our consciences as well, right? What does it mean to be a saint? What does the word blessed mean in that regards? We throw that word around the church a lot, especially, right? I am blessed. Because blessing has kind of a quantification for us, doesn't it? If life is good, if everything is in order, well, we might say that life is blessed in that moment. Now, don't get me wrong, it is God's blessing to give to you and to I. It is God's providing, right? Most specifically, his daily bread, all the things that we need in this life. But then we encounter things like the beatitude of blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what happens? Well, our brain goes to work again, right? We start to self-evaluate. Sometimes we hear of people who give away all of their possessions or their monetary status, and are motivated in thinking that they can attain some higher status in heaven by doing all of this, when actually that's pretty selfish and self-righteous. Is that what Jesus is talking about anyway? And who exactly is a saint? So at our Bible study this last week, the guys and I had a conversation about what it means to be a saint, especially in the Catholic context. Those being considered for sainthood or beatification, that is, lifted up as a saint in the eyes of the church, firstly, have to have been dead 5 years. However, this was dispensed of in the case of Mother Teresa by Pope John Paul II, and he began her sainthood process shortly after her death. Well, then the person's life is evaluated to see whether that person lived a life of holiness and virtue enough to even qualify them for sainthood. The next step is to consider whether their example of holy living actually raised people up in faith in a noticeable way. Was the person called on for an intercession or prayer that actually came true in a heroically virtuous way? Well, then comes the miracles. Two true miracles need to be ascribed to those people based on a significant sign of healing. This was proof that they had already been granted access into heaven. The exception to this rule is if someone had been martyred for their faith, well, then you only needed one miracle. And then the final recommendation comes from the Pope himself. A canonization ceremony is held, and that person is declared a saint. Well, here's some disappointing news for all of you here today, and for myself. I don't think any one of us is going to qualify under that way of knowing this, for that kind of sainthood. But I guess all things considered, because that kind of sainthood is not actually outlined in the Bible, maybe we just don't need to worry about it, right? It's kind of a man-made honor. But there is another way, and that's Jesus' way. Because in our reality, our human nature loves to categorize people. This is why we do things like this. We define people in our own criteria of being good or bad, sinner or saint. It makes us feel safer somehow when we categorize people so that we know how to feel about them, how to talk about them, how we should interact with them. We really don't like ambiguity. We tend to like our divisions because we think it's easier. When we hear the moniker of saint, I don't know about you, I think of people like Mother Teresa, or the Dalai Lama, or Desmond Tutu. But we also use it to describe someone that maybe we loved, a grandmother, an uncle, a friend. We don't often think of those who maybe are sitting right beside us right now, and especially those that I get to work with every day. But what does it mean to be blessed? And how does that inform your understanding of a saint? Well, because our Lord Jesus is actually going to challenge us in that thinking right now. Because to be blessed is to hear what Jesus Christ has to speak into your life, just like he has already done here this morning. I've already heard him. To be blessed is actually to believe what Jesus tells you. And oh, by the way, this also makes you a saint. Now, St. Paul actually writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All who are claimed and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ are called God's children, so that every one of you baptized into Christ Jesus has this identity. Because Jesus came to fulfill the demand of God's law, that is, he came to die on the cross for your sins, and in doing so, made you completely justified and blameless to stand before God. Well, that now is a saint. And so on days like today, we remember those who have gone before us, those that we celebrate, those that cheer us on from celestial bleachers, as Hebrews tells us. Or we think of times when death draws near, and we need a word that can just make a difference in a moment. Well, that's when we lean into the promises of baptism again. It's why today, especially, I appreciate we started off at the baptismal font, giving thanksgiving for the promises that claim us and hold us in all of those times of life, but especially those holy moments of life. It means that when we hear those promises and trust those promises, we have certainty in faith. It's one of the things I love about being Lutheran. We are not ambiguous about this. We are not an opinion. We are certain of these promises. And we proclaim them. God's got you. The promises that Christ makes to you in your baptism means that you are so right with God that when God looks at you, he sees only his Son, his perfect Son. And then Christ turns to you and me and says, come on in. You're welcome. You're forgiven. And you people are the melting pot of the church. The only thing in this world that you share in common today is geography. Each and every one of you is a different human being, and I thank God for that. Which also means that we come to the font with very different experiences, very different outlooks on life. But when we confess the name of Jesus Christ, well, you get to share in something even more important, and that's freedom. Freedom that you get to truly know, if even for just a moment. Freedom to know that the struggles and burdens of our lives are not final. And Christ calls you actually through this gospel today in a really weird way to live out that freedom for each other. Not just to tolerate each other, but to love one another. Even those who hate me. That's really hard. But know that Christ, in Christ, it is possible. Because the vision that we have, we use Daniel's words today, the vision that we have is a world that is good, that knows God and knows love for one another. And we can live out that vision. The reality of that is ours today as people of God. You are the body of Christ, members of God's royal family, sons and daughters, and heirs to the eternal promise. The promise that you get to cling to and to live by your entire life with certainty. And in doing so, when you trust Jesus at his word, you are not only blessed, but you are a saint, canonized by Christ himself here and now. Thanks be to God. Amen.